Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I got to start with something funny. The ultimate reliable news source, the Babylon Bee, had an article today, "Dangerous Insurrectionists Seize Capitol Building." It's beautiful, because you have, what's her name, Harris and Pelosi, standing there at the House of Representatives building. And Zelensky is there at the podium, and they're holding up the Ukrainian flag that's signed by a bunch of Ukrainian soldiers. And so, the article, I'm going to read it. It's good. "America's government was thrown into turmoil last night after a small band of insurrectional traitors stormed the Capitol building while waving the flag of a foreign power." "This is a dark day for the country," said Representative Thomas Massie, watching in disbelief as the events unfolded on TV. "Not only did the lunatics make it all the way into the sacred House chamber, they waved the flag of a hopelessly corrupt foreign nation and made off with $50 billion. How did we let that happen?" You know, just the way they phrased that was just eloquent, because indeed, they made off with $50 billion, and it was theft.
If there's roughly 250 million, say, taxpayers in the U.S., that would be, what, about $500 per person that they stole for,
the hopelessly corrupt foreign nation, until last February, they were known as the most corrupt country in Europe. And, anyway, sources say the plot to attack democracy was spearheaded by conspirators at the highest echelons of government, including Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Kamala Harris. "This is anti-democratic," said Massie. No one voted for this. Already citizens are asking for help to track down and detain all involved so they can be thrown into solitary confinement without bail for years and years, which is exactly what happened to the January 6th people. Because again, a whole bunch of these people, like around 200, in solitary confinement. It goes back to the thing about, the U.S., we torture people by policy. We must show no mercy to traitors and insurrectionists who threaten our democracy, said Senator Josh Hawley. "I vow to hold these people accountable by hauling them before hearings and yelling at them on TV." That's about all I can do, unfortunately. At publishing time, Harris and Pelosi had been checking the bank accounts to see if their Christmas bonuses from Ukraine had cleared yet. Which, it's like the FTX thing was the racket, and one of the things it was done for to support Ukraine. But anyway, I thought the humor in that was really, really good. And it's kind of related. I just heard that the U.S. Marines are considering getting rid of the use of sir and ma'am because they're sexist. So many people say that one of the issues is the U.S. could not win a war anymore because, and as I pointed out several times, we've gone to the politically correct aspects. The recruiting to the military, I showed that one video where we show the Russians, big strong men, the Chinese, big strong men, whatnot, and then the American recruitment video. My mom was a lesbian, and I'm participating in protests and whatnot, and I'm a U.S. Army specialist, whatever it was, this woman. And it's kind of like, yeah, right, and anyway. So a lot of people think if we ever have to go to actual battle, we're going to lose. It's interesting. They're apparently proving $50 billion again for Ukraine. The issue is it brings it up to like roughly $100 billion that we sent to Ukraine. That's almost in less than a year. It's like 1.5 times the entire military budget of Russia. And we've done this for just Ukraine. And, you know, Ukraine is losing. I listened to the hype. There's the one of the current battles is Bakhmut, I think is the right pronunciation. The Russians are doing this, you know, okay, go ahead and fight and whatnot. You know, we're not in a rush. They're not in a rush. They don't have to make it look good on the 6 o'clock news, because apparently the Russian people are very supportive of what's going on. But the death count, you know, apparently, and I'm hearing this from multiple sources, of the Ukrainians is tremendous. It's anywhere from 3 to 10 to 1 compared to Russians. So I just saw a report from Al Jazeera saying, oh, thousands have died. Thousands have died on both sides, I think. Or you know, he said combined thousands have died. Or combined both sides, whatever. So he could say something that's technically accurate. But what he didn't say is the Ukrainians are... And of course, you know, I see the... And obviously, I see this from numerous sources, but obviously one of them is RT, where the Ukrainians, they leave the dead bodies. They leave the dying bodies, too. And they just run. And, you know, the average age of the Ukrainian soldier is getting older and older, and they're having so many issues. But their PR, boy, the PR is just... You know, and the money. And of course, that brings up an issue. But, okay, well, let's do that first. You know, I look at what's happening in the relationship between the U.S. and Ukraine. That $50 billion is not really going to Ukraine. It's going to the military-industrial complex. You know, it's the idea of, okay, the good analogy is that... the incentive program where everybody got a $600, everybody but me got a $600 check 2 years ago. And then there were follow-up ones. But the first one, it was $500 million of money that was simply handed out to most taxpayers. And it's kind of like, oh, well, that sounds wonderful. But what was it? It was $500 million to the taxpayers, and it was $2 billion, the total package. Excuse me, not billion, trillion. It was a theft of $1.5 trillion, because that was just pork. It was a money grab. Plus the payback, because it was borrowed money. The estimate I heard would be probably around $8 billion. Where does it come out of? Oh, it doesn't come out of me. It comes out of my descendants. It's theft for the next generation. And in a very real sense, this is what's happening now, because you spend $50 billion. Oh, we're giving $50 billion to Ukraine, but that's for them to buy stuff from, you know, Lockheed, Raytheon, and all those people. So what we're doing is giving, you know, so a few billion dollars ends up in Ukraine, but the rest of it ends up in the United States. And what's happened is, because there are so many defense contractors making good money, oh, we're all for this. Yes, because we get the money. We get money that's used to kill people. Or as George Bush, President George Bush, you know, he was caught on camera with interview. He thought he was talking to Zelensky, but he was actually talking to Volvin and Lexus, the Russian comedy guys. And he said, oh, go kill more Russians. You know, I'm sorry, that's murder. Killing Ukrainians is murder. But anyway, but the whole point of this, the relationship between the U.S. and Ukraine has nothing to do with a kind group of people trying to help people who have been terribly mistreated by a foreign government. That's complete baloney. That's what's marketed, but it's complete baloney. What it is a way to make a lot of money and gain a lot of power. That's what it is. You know, that's the Babylon Bee article about they were looking for their Christmas bonuses. It's exactly what this is. You know, Pelosi is a rather wealthy woman. Rather wealthy woman. And she did it on a salary at the, you know, for however many years she's been in the U.S. House. Nah, yeah, you believe that? Yeah, right. Anyway, so there's that relationship, and it is basically, it's a money laundering operation. Afghanistan, that 20 years in Afghanistan was a money laundering operation. Because there's a whole lot of money to be made. I mean, we spent well over $1 trillion. And where did it go? To the Afghan people? No. To defense contractors. And so what? If you say, okay, we're gonna, you know, like the incentive program, whatever it was called. So it's a $2 billion bill, and you know, and you get half a trillion out of that. It's the same kind of thing. So we send a few billion dollars to Ukraine, but we're getting a whole bunch of billions that we get to keep ourselves. So we're going to make things nice for you, but you're making it really nice for us. That's the relationship between the U.S. and Ukraine. That's the relationship between the institutional church and its people. And I'm trying to think that one through. Because what does the institutional church need? It needs the resources from the people. So you have to give that reason, that rationale. You need us, in the case of the government, the military, you need us to protect you. Oh, there's these terrible people, and we need to have the strong defense. This was true with it's true with Ukraine. It was true with Afghanistan, because we got to get Afghanistan, because the excuse was Osama bin Laden. $1 trillion to get Osama bin Laden, who probably died in December of 2001 from a kidney failure. But we don't want to go there. We have money to be made. And, you know, the same thing are true. Iraq, you know, the weapons of mass destructions that never existed, and there was no, apparently, the more I read about it, there was never any evidence. It was all based on lies. The incubator babies that got us into the first Iraq invasion, all based on lies. The Vietnam War, based on lies. But look at the money to be made. COVID, look at the money to be made. There's so much money to be made, it's ridiculous. You know, again, if you look at all the billionaires that have been made over the last few years, the vast majority of them have been in the pharmacological business. Is there a connection? Don't be that stupid to think it is, isn't. Clearly, because, you know, again, and how do they do that? It's based on a lie. You use the PCR process and call it a test. And so you effectively misname it. And then you use this test that will tell you that you have a trace of the common cold or any other thing. Again, there's this group out of somewhere in Europe offering over €1 million, so over $1 million, for anyone to show evidence of an isolated COVID-19 virus. There are numerous countries that I'm aware of that there are lawsuits in place. We want some evidence that COVID-19 exists. Don't go there. There's too much money to be made. The institutional church says, you know, it was apparently, from my vague understanding of history, apparently very strong with the Roman Catholic Church when they offered the indulgences idea and things of that nature, which is what Martin Luther was literally hammering about, you know, because 94 of the 95 Theses, I think, was basically on that issue. And it's a scam. It's a scam because the idea, and then of course, Yeah, I don't know where the Catholic, Roman Catholics stand on this, but obviously the Protestants, a lot of them have gone on the tithe, and of course the faith offering and whatnot, and they use that because, you know, and you know the Malachi thing, you know, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, and we're the storehouse now. But don't you dare challenge us on if that statement is true. If you do, you're a bad person. And we're going to send the police after you. Oh, actually, they send the police after me for pursuing reconciliation, you know, because that's even more vile. But the you know, or don't you dare point out that, you know, the idea, oh, yes, elders and overseers and bishops and whatever, those are offices. Don't you challenge them. Because there's a whole lot of money to be made here. What's the difference between the institutional church and its relationship to people and the way the U.S. and Ukraine is? I find it interesting. There's talk now because, you know, there's tensions and Poland is becoming more and more of an issue. It was the Ukrainian missiles that were fired into Poland. First, they blamed Russia. Then it was kind of like, you know, including Zelensky said, oh, the Russians did it. And then, oh, yeah, well, actually, it was ours. But you build this momentum, and apparently there are a bunch of other issues going on. There was a somebody who had a some Polish guy, somewhere in, you know, a police department, and whatnot, had a relationship with people in Ukraine and whatnot, and ended up with a something like a, you know, one of these anti-tank guns or whatever. Got it into his office and it blew up. That didn't go over well, you know. So, and I really wonder, because obviously there's a huge market, you know, black market for these things, and I really wonder where they're going to be used eventually. And will some, you know, obviously they're going to get used in places, you know, you go to a country where they're having maybe civil wars, some kind of real insurrections or whatnot. But what happens if somebody shows up? The easiest place would be in Europe, you know, in the rest of Europe. Ukraine and Russia are European, but in the rest of Europe, Germany, France, England, and make use of one of those. Or in Canada, or in the U.S., that might be noticed. I really wonder. But the thing that fascinated me about the tension between Poland and Ukraine is because one of the comments was that the Polish are really concerned about the rise of Nazism. And they're trying to have a good relationship with a country headed by literal Nazis. And I find this fascinating. But the other thing that I find fascinating is the tension between Poland and Ukraine. It's the leadership, the governments. It's not the people. Because, you know, I think about the obvious example for me. There's this Polish descendant, you know, one generation removed, and a German who worked for the National Socialist German Workers' Party, who post-World War II became one and had me. You know, so, you know, a Polish American and a German who, you know, many months before were at war with each other. And these two people, because what I saw between my mom and my dad was love. I saw a lot of love between them. There were a whole lot of issues. My mom and my dad loved each other. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. It's like the way I love my wife. But anyway, before I get too long, it's the concern I have between Polish and Ukraine governments and Polish and Ukrainian people. It's the same issue between Ukrainians of Ukrainian heritage and Ukrainians of Russian heritage. They're people. And I have no doubt whatsoever, like my own parents, there are a whole lot of probably, what do we call them, Ukrainian Ukrainians married to Russian Ukrainians. I have no doubt that exists, you know, whatsoever. But anyway, one last thing. I got a postcard. And, you know, I'm sorry, but this is really hurting. Happy birthday. Do our kids know that you abandoned me and I remain keeping the promise? 3 John 4. I love you, I love you, I love you. You're a man. One of these days, what's going to happen to my family if that barrier drops and my kids find, Mom, Mom, why did you deny us our dad? I'm not after revenge. I'm after reconciliation. My efforts are not trying to get even. My efforts are to reconcile. As I say, I will take on whatever cost it is. Put it on me to reconcile. No problem whatsoever. But besides the fact that this hurts, 3 John verse 4. This is a big deal. This is a really big deal. So let me read the first, and I find something fascinating here. Let me read the first four verses in the ESV. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health. Camera's in front. As it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's the verse I quoted. But what I find fascinating, you know, I look at the NASB of that verse 3 here. For I was very glad when the brethren came and testified to your truth, that is how you are walking in truth. Your truth. I was wondering about that because, you know, the ESV, testifying to your truth as if something that you do is true. And so King James, for I rejoice greatly that when the brethren came and testified of the truth that it is in thee as even thou walkest in the truth. Kind of like, okay, I'm still confused here. The LSV, for I rejoice exceedingly, brothers, coming and testifying of the truth in you, even as you're walking in the truth. So, okay, the issue is, it's not my truth. You know, and I think, because I did do a little study, and I do think, you know, again, I think this is quite clear. Testifying of the truth in you, not your truth. Because what is truth? It's the Greek word is aletheia, which is not, aletheia, or however. It's literally not hidden. The truth is not hidden. And I find this fascinating because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is not hidden. Coming and testifying of the truth in you, even as you walk in the truth, walk in truth. Okay, the truth in you, is it because, you know, you could maybe read in the idea that, that the truth is, it's not hidden in me, or it is that it is Christ in me, Christ being the truth. So, you know, it's really something to examine because I really, you know, I like the ESV. I had a look at the NIV, I did, because the NIV has lots of troubles. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth. Hey, that's good. Telling how you continue to walk in it. Gee, I wonder if the NIV got it better than the ESV. Because walking, testifying to your truth, that really, that because it gives a connotation that it's something, that is something I generated, as opposed to Christ in me. You know, that which is a problem. But, and this is the whole reason I got here, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Or the LSV, I have no joy greater than these things, that I may hear of my children walking in truth. Well, obviously, it's that same truth, the aletheia. So walking in, and I would suggest, is testifying to the truth in you, Christ in you, even as you walk in the truth, you walk in Christ. Here my children are walking in truth, in Christ. Now, is that what that means? Because, you know, the issue there is hearing. And akouo, I think, to be endowed with the facility of hearing, not deaf, to hear, to attend to, consider what is or has been said, to understand, perceive the sense of what is said, to hear something. So what we're talking about is not only hearing as in with my ears, but hearing as in with my mind. In other words, to consider what is or has been said. So when you, I have no greater joy than these things that I may hear of my children walking in the truth, or the ESV, to hear that my children are walking in the truth, that somehow I find out, not only by the ear, but it gets into my mind that my children are walking in the truth. Walking in the truth, they're walking with Christ. And of course, you can find the idea of walking with the truth, because you know there is the call to the walk with Christ. There's so many analogies starting back in Genesis, you know, with Enoch, who walked with God and was no more. And I will contend he walked with Christ, physically walked with Christ. I would think that is quite likely. But so I sent this postcard to my wife. No greater joy to hear that my children are walking in the truth. When I got this card back, because it arrived last night and I didn't go out until this morning, I pulled out of the box when I sent a new card out. You know, I put one in, take one out. You know, it's kind of like, this one hurts a little bit more. Because I cannot say I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Because I don't hear about my children at all. For 10 years. What kind of hate does it take to do that? Not only by my wife, extended family, Jim Cross, institutional church leadership, even though when he begged us and we would not listen, you know, from Genesis. Genesis 32. As in Kozlowski.org/he begged us. Maybe there's an idea here. What I know is my eldest daughter, who did the Keeping the Promise video, who took this picture, claims to be an atheist. My eldest son is a practicing homosexual. My second daughter appears to be embraced by the world, or has embraced the world. I don't know. My Julia has been abandoned by her husband, and I don't know where she stands. I reach out to her, and all I get is silence. George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok are sent postcards like this And then we have examples, because they haven't got on the wall yet. Like this one here to Walter. This is a violation of man's law. This is a blatant violation of man's law. This is evidence right here. This is against the law. But have you heard somebody say, rules for thee and not for me? The law says you cannot censor male from the dad to their kids. My wife spits in the face of man's law. The law says the dad can talk to his kids at least, was it 2 or 3 times a week? I'm in voicemail number, whatever the number is. This is voicemail number 1601 over 2,305 days. That's less than once a week. And, you know, this is a concern. And by the way, I out of curiosity, I did go to the dictionary.cambridge.org, the Cambridge Dictionary, and looked up man and woman. Woman, an adult female human being, you know, which is the answer given in the What is a Woman video. Or an adult who lives and identifies as female, though they have been, may have been said to have a different sex at birth. That's the dictionary definition. Man, an adult male human being. An adult who lives and identifies as a male, though they have been said to have a different sex at birth. Twisting the language. So, it's kind of like the law says the dad has the right to talk to his kids. Unless my wife identifies as God. Is that what's happening? I love that lady. It's It was over 10 years ago. I was in a garage. I saw this wood-carved sign. And it was 3 John 4. I saw that and I said, you know, that's one of my favorite verses. It was already before I saw that. And I saw that and I said, you know, I can relate to this. Of course, I was with my kids too. And I cherished that idea. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. My wife, Jim Cross, Render Keynes, Chris Bitterman says, no, you cannot. I said so. That's an act of love, isn't it? I'm going to continue to pursue reconciliation based on the truth, what is not hidden. I am not going to hide what the scripture says. I am not going to hide the fact that we've had some issues. I'm not going to hide the fact that what has been done towards me is absolute hate and complete violation of scripture. I won't hide the fact that I'm also a sinful man. And there are probably things that if somebody were to be willing to engage me and not give up, 2 Timothy 4, maybe I can find out other areas that I need to repent of. I'm open to that. In the meantime, again, the Galatians 2, I'm going to call you out as unloving, as not keeping in line with the truth of the gospel. Oh, gee. Okay, It's the Galatians 2, and you know, When Cephas came to Antioch, I posted him to the face because he stood condemned, for before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles, but when he came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, Peter, before them all, publicly, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? So he called them out publicly. And, I just want to make sure it wasn't a different word. It's the aletheia, the truth of the gospel, the good news, euangelos, euangelon, whatever, the noun version, whatever. Good, a good message, or because good messenger, a messenger, an angel. And it's the message, the good message. I want to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Please, please. For Jack, for Erica Lee, clearly, I don't know about Teresa, but clearly, it can involve repentance. George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok, I have no idea. They're my kids. Hate me all you want, but live in obedience to Christ. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you hate your brother, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. I'm glad I didn't write those words. My wife, Jim Cross, Rhonda Keynes, Chris Bitterman, you are hating me. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Let those words sink in. I've been trying to reconcile with my wife, Jim Cross, Rhonda Keynes, and Chris Bitterman, and Chris Bitterman sent the police to intimidate me. I love you, my lady. Merry Christmas. I want you back.